Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. This week saw several school districts take steps to ease pandemic mask mandates, with Cumberland, Johnston, Harnett, and Moore County schools among the first to make face coverings optional. Larger school districts may also ease COVID restrictions soon if case numbers continue to trend downward. And though COVID cases finally appear to be declining, there will be future flare-ups, and people need to be ready to mask back up and make other sacrifices if need be. That's according to Dr. Mark McClellan, a physician and economist who directs the Duke Margolis Center for Health Policy in Durham. McClellan, a former commissioner of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, recently sat down with journalists to discuss current COVID trends and what a return to normalcy might look like.
Governments and a lot of individuals are exhausted with COVID and very ready to move on. So I think the most important decisions ahead for both our federal and local governments and for Americans are, how do we get through the what will hopefully be a new normal? And I want to put the emphasis on normal. It's clear that COVID is unlikely to be gone. The Omicron variant and the new BA2 variant are just extremely contagious. People who have had COVID before in the Delta wave, people who have had immunizations can still get infected. We do know that immunizations, especially with a booster, are very protective against serious illness. And they also have important protections, maybe 50% reduction in getting infected or transmitting COVID at all, even being a potential source of transmission, even without symptoms, goes down with being fully boosted. But we also know that vaccines aren't perfect and that COVID isn't one and done. So the future ahead is going to see some background rate of cases. I think the question is, how high are those rates going to be and how consequential will they be for our daily lives? And the things that will matter there are whether we are able to respond when there is a local surge, for example, maybe going back to putting on more masks or being a little bit more cautious about distancing, whether it's in your school or in your workplace or in your community. Hopefully not many of those, but we need to be ready for them. It's also going to depend on how well we use all of the other tools that we have in addition to vaccinations to keep us in something like normalcy for the future. That includes the fact that we now have more widespread availability of tests, including rapid tests that are not perfect, but that are very helpful, especially in times and in places where cases are surging, to know whether you've been infected and to know whether you need to get treatment. And we also have treatments that work now, both intravenous treatments and increasingly oral treatments. So I think part of the future may be, you know, each American kind of having a plan, just like you do for hurricane or bad weather event, for what you do if there is a surge, to help keep you safe, help keep your family safe, and help keep your community safe, and help keep us from ever having to go through again one of these huge surges that has really strained our healthcare system and is leading to, you know, thousands of deaths per day. It is avoidable, but we're not there yet. And there are some further steps that we need to take as individuals and that our governments at the federal, state, and local level can support.
Last week, the Food and Drug Administration dashed the hopes of parents with young children when they delayed the authorization of the COVID vaccine for those under 5 years old. The FDA and Pfizer said they're waiting on data about the effectiveness and safety of a third dose, which won't come until April. But as Dr. McClellan notes, a vaccine for kids under age 5 would really help us turn the corner and move the nation out of the pandemic.
If you look at our population right now, about two-thirds of people who are eligible for vaccines have been fully vaccinated. That's highest for adults, especially very high rates for older adults. And then it kind of declines from there, with high rates for people over 18, over 80% there, lower rates as we get to lower age groups for kids. For example, only about 30% of kids who are eligible for vaccines now in the 5 to 11 age group have been vaccinated. And obviously, the biggest unvaccinated group is that population under 5. And unfortunately, with this Omicron spread, we're seeing more cases of severe illness in that group, including hospitalizations and some deaths. The overall rates, fortunately, are very low. But with so much risk of infection, so much transmissibility from Omicron and now BA2, kids are at risk if they haven't been vaccinated. The good news with the vaccine studies to date is that the vaccine two-dose version that's been now quite extensively tested for Pfizer does appear to show a very good immune response, maybe not as high as we saw in older age groups, especially for kids age two and younger, but a significant immune response that does provide that protection, especially against serious illness in all likelihood. Some concerns that it's not quite as robust as we saw for older age groups, probably a function of the dose being so much lower. It's only one-tenth the dose of the vaccines that adult Pfizer vaccine recipients have been taking. And so what I do expect to see, Pfizer submitting their application, it's going to take a few weeks for FDA to go over it very, very carefully and thoroughly. It includes data on hundreds of kids who have been now followed for a long time. It integrates data that we've seen around the country and around the world on the experience of kids more generally with COVID vaccines, which looks very good from a safety standpoint, especially at these low doses. I do expect FDA to keep looking at the data there, and just like we've seen in other age groups, probably authorize a booster dose a couple of months after that second dose that would be considered right now. And that would get this last remaining important segment of our population, which has been at risk from COVID with these very contagious variants around, it would give them an opportunity for vaccination. But that's not going to be the end of the story. As I said, most of the kids age 5 to 11 today in the United States have not been vaccinated. So clearly some important questions that parents have there, an important need to keep looking very closely at all the safety data. We now have safety data on millions of kids in that age range on the use of the vaccination. We have a growing data showing that it does really help prevent, especially these serious complications from COVID and also long-term complications from COVID. So some important issues around engaging the public and tracking, continuing to track very carefully all of the evidence on these vaccines in kids and younger kids so that parents can make confident decisions about getting their kids vaccinated.
One other advantage that we didn't have a year ago is the existence of new antiviral treatments, though for now they remain in limited supply.
There is a one monoclonal antibody authorized in the United States that works effectively against the Omicron variant. We're seeing about 500,000 doses per week, roughly, of that ship, maybe 600,000 doses over the next month or so. So that means a limited amount of supply relative to the number of people who could benefit. Also coming are oral treatments for COVID, Paxlovid and from Pfizer, another drug from Merck that have important benefits. We're also learning about other drugs that if given early in the course of COVID can also help prevent complications. Now, not all of these drugs are widely available. Not all of them are easy to use. Some of them, as I said, require an infusion, not a pill that you can just take. But over the coming weeks, they are going to become more widely available. And if we continue to see cases go down, what that means is that an important component of keeping COVID from really disrupting our lives and our healthcare system again is going to be the opportunity for people to get tested. And if they test positive, to get access to quick treatment that could help them prevent getting a serious complication. And I'm hoping that that's something that people who are unvaccinated will take advantage of, since their risk of hospitalization, if they do get infected, is substantially higher. These treatments have limited side effects. They're worth discussing with your doctor, but definitely have a very good benefit to risk profile. And even for people who have been vaccinated, if you are in a higher risk group, if you're an older age group, if you got a serious chronic disease, definitely worth talking to your doctor or pharmacist from here on out about getting tested if you have symptoms and about considering treatment as these treatments become more widely available. That's going to keep you from having more significant consequences. It can help reduce transmission, and it can really help keep the burden of our healthcare system down. But most importantly, we have the capabilities going forward between a combination of vaccination and rapid access to testing and treatments that really work, especially if given early in the course of COVID, to never have to see these big surges in serious complications, hospitalizations, and deaths again. And if we can achieve that, that's the best path to normalcy in the long term.
Dr. McClellan's bottom line, COVID is still a deadly pandemic in many parts of the world, especially where vaccination rates are under 20%. The best way for society to get back to something akin to normal is to get vaccination rates up and for everyone to continue to keep their guard up in this next endemic phase. Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember, you can check us out online and subscribe for free to some of our state's best news coverage and political commentary at ncpolicywatch.com. You can also check out all of our interviews and commentaries on Apple Podcasts. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.